listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio.
Wednesday, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd with you every Wednesday, noon to one. So we're happy to have you aboard and listening to us on KKFI.org, streaming live audio. Thanks so much for making us a part of your day. Hey, this week we've got a great lineup of people. They're all just spilling out of the studio here at 39th and Main. We have Catherine Bellow, Philip Eyrick, Jonah Criswell, Sophie Francoeur, Jim Wilson, and Jim Grant, all in the studio to talk about what's happening in their world and in our community. So we're going to get started right away with the two Jims, the Jims Squared. Let me see, get that one. Jim Grant and Jim Wilson. They're going to, Jim Grant is the Executive Director of Global Birthing Home Foundation, which funds and oversees operations of Maison de Naissance.
Naissance,
a full-service maternal and infant health care center in rural Haiti. Also, we're going to talk to Jim Wilson, the Assistant Festival Manager of the Ethnic Enrichment Commission of Kansas City. He's a part of the executive committee. We're going to talk to them. We're going to talk to them specifically about the KKFI 2021 Annual Sustainers Party, which is a private event, but we're going to talk about that briefly and what they bring to that, and also talk about their organization. So welcome, Jim Squared. Hello.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Oh, thank you for coming here. I want to say that, as I mentioned, the KKFI 2021 Annual Sustainers Party is a world music showcase, and that's taking place December 3rd at the Kansas City Irish Center with performances by Mundo Nuevo, Ala Turca, and Gamelan Genta Kasturi. This, again, is a private event, but for more information, you can call our development director, Bill Sundahl, at 816-994-7869. You can find out how to become a sustainer and get yourself invited to this party. So, good morning. Jim Grant, let's talk with you first about what your role is in the Annual Sustainers Party.
Well, actually, I'm involved with the Annual Sustainers Party because two of our board members at the foundation I work for are the co-founders of Mundo Nuevo, which is one of the bands performing that night. And they play Latin music based on Cuban and Haitian themes. They both actually are members of the Cucharada Tango Ensemble as well. Some of your listeners may know them from that.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And Jim Wilson?
Yes. We're one of our groups. The commission's involves about 66 different countries here in Kansas City, and Indonesia is also going to be performing this Friday night with the Gamelan Kasturi Gamelan group. My wife will be dancing. She's from Indonesia, and she'll be dancing a Balinese dance with the Gamelan on Friday.
You know, we're very fortunate to have both of these groups here in town because they're just exciting, beautiful. It's just a wonderful experience not only to hear their music, but with the performance. It's just a wonderful opportunity to really hear some beautiful music from, from around the world.
Exactly.
Yeah. So now, Jim Wilson, you're with also the Ethnic Enrichment Commission of Kansas City. So let's talk a little bit about that.
The Ethnic Enrichment Commission is a nonprofit that tries to bring together different cultures and ethnicities here in Kansas City. There's 66 different countries and ethnicities, culture groups, whatever you want to call them. They're all nonprofit that we get together and try and accomplish things. And one of the biggest things we try to do is the Ethnic Festival every August, which is a huge festival at Swope Park Outdoor. We have each country gets a booth and they have a stage presence for half an hour and they have crafts. So it's kind of, you know, traveling around the world in a couple hours on a Saturday afternoon, and you can eat your way around the world. And it's great seeing different countries side by side helping each other. Egypt booth next to the Israeli booth, sharing utensils or whatever they need, or Jamaica's over here and Pakistan's over here. Everybody has their favorite food that oftentimes they can only find at our festival because it's kind of a homemade deal.
Yeah, you know, I think that's an important aspect to consider, because a lot of times you may not realize, oh, look, there's a Polynesian community here in Kansas City, or Ethiopian. My personal story, and I'll make this brief, is that when my daughter was 4 years old, we attended the Ethnic Instrument Festival. Of course, now she's 36, 35, something like that. And we danced, we watched a Mexican folkloric dance group perform. And I thought, I want to get my daughter involved with that. And so I contacted the director, Maria Charan, and my daughter danced from the age of 4 till she was teaching, and just quit maybe about 4 years ago. Yeah. So it's life-changing, in that it changes your perspective of what you think these cultures are about, right?
Right, and they're here locally in Kansas City. It's not like we're bringing in all these people from other places.
Right.
These are people from Kansas City just letting you share in their diversity. And it's fun for the people from those countries. Maybe somebody just moved in from Indonesia and they come and say, oh, we thought we were the only ones here.
Yeah.
And then they realize there's a group and they celebrate national holidays. Or, it's great for people that didn't know there was other cultures here. Of course, Kansas City is very diverse, and it's kind of a secret.
And I think, you know, the biggest denominator is not only the food, but the music and performance, because it transcends, you know, language.
Yes.
Right? Very good. Jim Wilson, let's talk to you about the Global Birthing Home Foundation.
I'm Jim Grant.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jim Grant.
That's quite all right. Okay. Too many Jims.
I know, and I've got it marked here. He's in the plaid shirt. So, yeah, Jim Grant.
Okay. So, I'm the executive director of a nonprofit foundation that operates here in Kansas City. It was founded by two Kansas City OBGYNs in 2004. And we operate a maternal and infant health center in a far southern rural Haiti, near a little town called Torbac. I've been working for them since 2008. I've been the executive director since 2011. And we probably provide the only professional maternal and infant health care to a population of around 76,000 people.
Wow, that is amazing. Wow, it's so beautiful. You know, if people, Jim, if people are interested in finding out more about your organization, where would they go?
To our website online. And it's a mouthful, but it's our entire organization name, globalbirthinghomefoundation.org.
And you're also on other social media platforms?
Yeah, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. So we're pretty easy to find out there. If somebody just Googled the foundation name, they would find us.
Yeah, very good. And I also want to mention that Jim is married to a symphony violinist.
Yes.
So
my wife, Mary, is a violinist with the Kansas City Symphony.
They're back in performance mode, right?
They are.
Yeah. So wonderful. It's so wonderful to have the arts again in Kansas City. I mean, it never really went away, just kind of like, poof, was very quiet. If you just tuned into ArtSpeak Radio, I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd, and you're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is ArtSpeak Radio. I'm talking to Jim Grant in the plaid shirt and Jim Wilson, and we're talking about the organizations that they are enlisted with, and also the KKFI 2021 Annual Sustainers Party, which is a private event, and how they are connected to that. And again, remind us, both Jims, your role in the Sustainers Party.
Well, I'm going to be helping the Gamelan Yenta Gusturi set up the Gamelan, which is a kind of a xylophone from Indonesia that consists of about 10 different types of xylophones. It's very unique. And my wife will be dancing, so I have to give her a ride so I get to come too. So it's going to be great. It's going to be great. But that's how I'm involved right now. I'm a big fan of KKFI.
You know, I went to sort of an open house with Gamelan, and they invited guests to sit in it and take part of the performance. And so that meant you got to kind of sample each mm-hmm. of these beautiful, ornate, and really complicated instruments.
Right. I hope they have time, but who knows about the schedule. But hopefully yeah. there's some time to do that this Friday.
Well, but it's amazing. I mean, I was really transformed in that the sound and sitting there, and it's so very complicated and very beautiful. Now, I know at one time, I believe they had a recording out, and I may have left it at home with me, but it's really beautiful. Yeah, and do you have a website for them that you want to share, or how can we find out?
I bet you if you Google Gamelan Genta Kasturi, you'd find it. I'm sorry, I don't know the website.
Okay.
I do know that I was in the Gamelan at that time, and it's a CD that was recorded.
I'm
playing one of the easier pieces in that CD.
But I also know, as I mentioned, Jim Wilson is Assistant Festival Manager with the Ethnic Enrichment Commission of Kansas City. So how can we find more information about Ethnic Enrichment Commission?
Yeah, and there are other festival. Events. We don't just do the festival. We do lots of smaller events at schools and businesses and things like that. But the website, of course, is the best place, eekc.org. And that's easy to find on Google or just on the internet.
Is it safe to say that you're planning for next year, 2022?
Yeah. I handed everybody here a little flyer about next August 19, 2021.
Yeah.
Third weekend in August. And that's always when we plan. And we are doing the planning now. We're excited because it's been two tough years without having it. So we're excited to go full speed this year.
So if people are interested in performance or vendors, they would...
Yeah, for us, it's our membership event, so you have to be a member first, and then we could talk about being in the festival.
Okay. Well, great. I love that it's still going. How many years?
This will be our 43rd annual festival next August.
I know when I became aware of it was through my mentor, Jose Gonzalez, who was a part of that. Him and his wife, Mercedes, were a part of Ethnic Enrichment, and just a really beautiful event for the community.
I remember when I was in high school that I went to this event. I can't believe that I'm part of it now.
Yeah, yeah. And Jim Grant, how can we find more information about Global Birthing Home Foundation?
Well, I think the best thing, since it's such a long name, and we're on a number of social media platforms, as well as our website. If somebody just Googled Global Birthing Home Foundation, they would get the link to our website plus all of our social media pages.
Okay. Is there something that the organization needs in terms of keeping the work going? Volunteers? Is there anything that is on sort of the wish list for Global Birthing Home Foundation?
Yes, actually, we have a kind of a big wish list, but I'll narrow it down. Mm-hmm. Of course, cash donations are always welcome, but we also need just very general medical supplies for women delivering babies. A very popular gift is that people tend to collect onesies for the children because the mothers love getting a brand new outfit for their baby right when it's born.
Wow. And does it have to be new? Is there... you know, if someone has some outgrown baby clothes and that sort of thing, is that something that would be viable for the organization?
It is, but it's actually not something that we promote because we prefer not to usurp that market in Haiti.
Sure, sure.
Right.
So how do, if people want to donate or contribute, would they just find you at the website then?
Yes.
The Global
Birthing Home? They can find us on the website. There's a great big button that says Donate Now. And also our address is there for people who want to donate by check.
Wow, that's wonderful. You know, I hope that you had some success in the Giving Tuesday because I know a lot of not-for-profits were seeing the benefits of that. And hopefully your organization was honored with some, you know, donations and contributions to your organization, right?
We were. The question is whether or not we made it under the wire to get matched.
Yeah.
There are several major organizations that match funds on Giving Tuesday, including sure. Facebook. Usually those funds are exhausted within a matter of a few minutes because, of course, Facebook's market is huge. Right.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of timing.
Now, do either of you have any last minute or last items that you want to bring to our attention, to our listeners and such?
I'd like to correct an omission, which was I mentioned our two board members that founded the group Mundo Nuevo. That's Sean Mawerder and Guy Montez. And they're the two that also are founding members of Cucharada Tango Ensemble. And I want to make a plug for Jim Miller's organization because, as it happens, 2 years ago, in 2019, at the Ethnic Enrichment Festival, I went to the Haiti booth, of course, because I work down there. And I met a Haitian nurse and had a nice conversation with her. I left her my business card. A few months later, she emailed me and asked if she could travel to Haiti and visit the birth center. And went down there, it was a year ago now, and spent a month training our staff on psychological support for moms who were in postpartum.
That is a beautiful story. I love that. You know, and I think it just demonstrates really how connected we are.
Absolutely.
You know, and in our you know, struggle to help one another and connect. I love that. Thank you, Jim. Thank you for that. Last
words. Same thing. Well, thanks for the plug. And yeah, that's exactly what the Ethnic Commission is, a conduit for things like that to happen. Meeting the people you never thought you'd ever meet in Kansas City, and surprise, right down the street there, there's somebody that you know. The best place to do that, at the Ethnic Festival in August 19, 20, and 21 of 2022. So we'll see you next August. That'd be great.
That sounds great. Jim Grant, Jim Wilson, thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you for reaching out to KKFI for the opportunity to share your information and organizations. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much for having me.
You bet.
Thank you so much.
You bet. And we're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this.
Support for KKFI comes from Jude's Rum Cakes in Kansas City for over 20 years. You can order online at judesrumcakes.com or stop by their kitchen in Old Town Lenexa and pick up the cakes yourself. They also offer a Wine of the Month Club of hand-picked wines and an 8-seat dining experience called Table Ocho. More information about all this and gift certificates are available at tableocho.com.
Tune in on the first Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. for Next Step Forward, a program highlighting millennials in the KC Metro that are using their talents, businesses, and activism to educate and uplift their communities. Join us for fresh insights, candid conversations, and interviews that will make you think. If you want to learn, laugh, and be empowered, this is the show for you. Join me, Jasmine Jones, every first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. right here on KKFI.
Thanks for tuning in to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. This is ArtSpeak Radio, and I am Maria Vasquez Boyd. Hey, we've got some great guests lined up today. I know you're enjoying the program thus far and listening to us on KKFI.org, streaming live audio. Up next, I have one of our favorite guests. It's been a while. Jonah Criswell, who's associate professor of painting, and Sophie Francoeur, who's a student at the Kansas City Art Institute in ceramics. They're here to talk about not only the end of semester exhibition sale, but also their work. So welcome, my friends.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, hello.
Oh, they're shy. They were so like, in the green room, like screaming and yelling, hey. So, you know, I wanted to mention that the Kansas City Art Institute hosts a end of the semester exhibition and sale, and this is the first in-person end of semester exhibition and sale in 2 years. I think it was that COVID that kind of shut it down. So you could view one of their biggest exhibitions of the year with a chance to purchase one-of-a-kind works made by KCAI students. You can visit each studio on campus, including animation, ceramics, fiber, filmmaking, foundation, the North and West studios, graphic design, illustration, painting, photography, printmaking, product design, sculpture, and social practice. So the campus is fairly large, even though it's kind of condensed. You can download a map and plan your visit. All proceeds benefit the individual student artist and designer, but I do want to stress that masks are required. So, how does that feel, Jonah?
Oh, it feels great. Yeah. I am thrilled. And coming from the Art Institute about 20 minutes ago, the electric energy of having this sense of community and having everyone be able to see each other's work and showcase their work, it is thrilling. And it's the high point of my semester, for sure.
You know, and as a former student alumni there, it was one thing that I really looked forward to, because, you know, I would cross the campus and go to sculpture or illustration or whatever. But, you know, you're just kind of honed in on your own work for most of the time. But when you see all of the work up, it's just incredibly inspiring.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, as an alum myself, I had the same feelings, and those feelings continue to today.
Isn't that
crazy? I love seeing the work of students that I never get to talk to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also you get to see this sense of community where you can recommend students to other students, and you can recommend faculty to each other. I am like, my hair's on the mud, my arm is standing up. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I love that. Now, Jonah, how long have you been at the Art Institute teaching?
This is my 11th year.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that time flies, doesn't it?
Yeah. Now, was this prior to the building being redesigned and all that, the painting department being
designed? Yeah, I think that happened in 2005, 2006, mm-hmm. which I graduated in 2005. Mm-hmm. And then the building was redesigned and whatnot. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a beautiful structure. And Sophie Franker is also at the Art Institute in ceramics. And, you know, I know that this is one time of the year. Actually, it happens twice at the end of semester sale, that ceramics is just flooded with people. And it's just really a beautiful thing to go through that building and see. It really kind of challenges you, what you think ceramics are about and what ceramics can do and not do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is really exciting for me, especially though, because I have yet to participate in an in-person end of semester show.
Oh my gosh.
So preparing for it is just a total blast. Like, as Jonah was saying, the energy on campus is like really high right now. Everyone's just like ready to sell their artwork and show everybody what they have to offer. But yeah, ceramics, I'm certainly quite biased being a ceramics major, but I just love the balance between like craft and fine arts and how it comes together. And a lot of people view ceramics as, you know, pottery craft more than fine art. So students are constantly experimenting and finding new ways to explore the medium. So people will always be surprised by the fantastic art our department produces. It's great.
What will they find in your work? What is your work about?
So I'm quite new to ceramics, so I don't think I've yet found my my niche. Mm-hmm. Each of the beginning semesters, we do something a little different to kind of explore the different types of ceramics there are. So first semester I did sculpture, and then second semester of sophomore year I did vessel work, so working with pottery and slip casting, and now I'm doing tile. And I've found things to love in all of it so far, but I think I'm definitely more of a sculptural thinker. So I'll probably be veering towards that in the future.
I love it. And you know, in the times that I've been in the ceramic department in a semester, I was just knocked out by the variety of work. I mean, you have more traditional teapots and tiles and that sort of thing, but then you see these larger than life-size sculptures, and I'm thinking, how in the world? You know, I have some friends who are ceramicists, Bill Guilfoyle one, and you know, it's just amazing to me that the glaze, you know, the construction, all of that goes into a work of ceramic work. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing, and I love it. If you just tuned in, I'm talking to Jonah Criswell, who's Associate Professor of Painting, and Sophie Franker and Ceramics. What year are you?
I'm a junior.
Okay, junior. I also want to mention that there is a new kind of virtual exhibition December 3rd through the 17th, where you can see new artwork posted daily on the website, and you can follow your favorite Kansas City Art Institute studios and experience the end of semester exhibition in a way that you have never before. Now, again, artwork will not be For Sale by KCAI through their virtual exhibition. But if you see something you like, you can connect with the artist directly. That's something new.
Oh, it's great.
I love it.
You know, actually, what's really interesting is the last end of semester exhibition we had in the painting department, we sold about a third of the work, which was really exciting. And then as we've seen the social media platforms become a way for the students to interact with fellow artists, interact with collectors, interact with patrons and wow. our community, it's really exciting because you can have a work that you post and then a couple of days later someone tells you they love it or expresses an interest in purchasing it. So the end of the semester exhibition, the virtual exhibition, is also a really great way to celebrate our entire community as one, but then also build those relationships with maybe new collectors or established collectors and students who are amazing artists and they're on the rise.
I love that, you know, because I know, again, from my experience back in the day, when people would come to the show at the end of the semester, they would follow certain artists, and so they didn't have that. We didn't have social media and all of those platforms back then, but, you know, in order to follow an artist, you had to connect with them directly, personally. But
sure.
But this is great. I mean, this is really terrific. You can follow an artist from the beginning through their mid-career and so on.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah. you know, it means the world of good to someone who's making something that is challenging and exciting, someone yeah. who's finding a genre or a process or experimenting, to see someone say, this is awesome, or man, I love this, I can see how this connects to previous work. And yeah. I think that that's yeah. a really important thing nowadays.
Growth. Yeah, you know, the end of semester exhibition and sale begins Friday, December 3rd. Now, it starts at 5 p.m., runs through 8 p.m., then it goes to Saturday, December 4th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., then Sunday, December 5th at noon through 5 p.m. Also, again, you can take a look at the new kind of virtual exhibition if you follow Kansas City Art Institute on Instagram or go to the website and, find some more information there. You know, we're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio and Jonah and Sophie right after this.
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two, Two Takes at a Movie, currently playing in theaters and streaming. Three big stars, Dwayne Johnson, Ryan Reynolds, and Gal Gadot, use all the charisma they can muster in an attempt to save the big-budget action comedy Red Notice, now in theaters and streaming on Netflix. It's not enough.
Red Notice, it's the story of an art thief at the top of his game, and an FBI agent trying to catch him, until they join forces against another art thief while they're in a Russian prison. This action comedy has exotic locales, stylish accoutrements, and even torture scenes. The plot is all over the place, but does it matter?
Not really, Susan. The script of this misfire is a mishmash of ideas borrowed from other better movies from multiple genres. The cartoonish, tongue-in-cheek approach wears out its welcome as the plot becomes more and more absurd.
Look at it as a potpourri of possibilities, and that's about all you'll get. Sadly, this film falls flat. After the first 20 minutes, I found myself bored, but I saw the entire film. And that was 1 hour and 55 minutes. Ryan Reynolds' character gives rapid-fire quips, and that quickly became annoying.
You can see where Netflix spent its $200 million budget, the most the company has spent on any movie to date, but they should have spent more on the script and less on the scenery.
See this film if you want to know what a Red Notice is.
Well, that's a pretty low bar. Red Notice is a movie that should pass without much notice. I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two.
Welcome back to Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Thanks so much for joining us today. We love having you. We love being in your ears. You know, we've got that wonderful Jonah Criswell, the Associate Professor of Painting. Hello, Jonah.
Hi.
So glad you're back in person.
It's great to be back.
Oh, my gosh. We love you. Also, we have Sophie Frankfurt, in the ceramics department at the Kansas City Art Institute. Great to meet you.
You too.
Yeah, I can't wait to see your work. You know, and speaking of your work, I want to talk about any social media platforms that people can find you at or catch a glimpse of your work.
Yeah, I have an Instagram. I don't keep up with it very much right now, but yeah. I must do it now since I'm telling you guys about it. And I'll be making a website either this winter or next semester. So I'll be posting that on there. So eventually people will be able to connect with me a bit easier. But it's Sophie Francoeur Art on Instagram. Should I spell my name?
Yeah, sure.
Sophie Francoeur Art.
You know, it seems to me that your last name sounds familiar. I seem to have gone to the Art Institute with a Jocko?
Jasno.
Jasno. Oh, my gosh.
He's my uncle.
Look at that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I follow him. Yeah, that's awesome.
That's so funny. That's so crazy.
And he was a painter at the Art Institute when I was there, and it was like, oh, if I could only paint like him. I mean, his work was really incredible.
Yeah, he's a great artist.
Wow. So, yeah, the talent runs in the family.
He's the one that got me to come here.
That's great. Yeah. Or did you grow up in Kansas City? Or?
No, I grew up in Arkansas, I came up here.
Wow. College. Well, you know, when I saw your last name, I thought, I wonder.
That's so funny that you guys
very
know
good.
Him.
Oh, that's great. I think he was actually a year ahead of me, but he was one of Wilbur's. He studied under Wilbur Niewald.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's terrific. But, you know, I do want to mention that Sophie's work will be in the end of semester exhibition sale that takes place Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this weekend. And you can find more information through the Art Institute website, or you can follow the Kansas City Art Institute on Instagram. Hopefully that they will show some of your work on Instagram. Do they alert you? Will they let you know, okay, we're going to post your work or submit a piece of work?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Or maybe.
Okay. we'll come and see it in person.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
And Jonah, you're painting still and keeping active in with your work, right?
Oh, yeah. I've had one of the best seasons of my work in the past 2 years because there was a sense of immediacy and also something to kind of talk about, you know, making artwork about what keeps us thriving in rough times. And so I made a drawing a day for, you know, maybe a couple hundred days, which was really talking about that life, that sort of like shelter in place and watching, you know, my wife go to work when I was, you know, sheltered in place, you know. And so it's been a really... it's been a really breakthrough moment and gave me a lot of clarity, to be honest. Yeah.
Wow. And so for our listeners, where can they find your work at?
On Instagram, it's just at Jonah Criswell. And then my website is jonahcriswell.com. And you can also find me on the KCAI Painting Department website, and that can lead you to those sites as well.
Well, you know, I know that the shutdown was really tough on so many of us, but I think that with the creative community, it allowed some time to kind of narrow the focus and play more with the cats or you know, drink more coffee or paint or doodle, draw, you know, sketch a day.
Well, yeah. I also think that this is what artists are made for, is to talk about our world and to talk about our world in ways that both kind of let people know that it's okay, and also to provide them with a way of understanding what they're going through, and then also to listen. And that's super important.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is, you know, we do that every day of the week and twice on Sunday, you know. And so I think that one of the things that I've noticed from all of the artists that I've interacted with in the past 2 years is that they found a great, their sense of self-fulfillment and purpose in their work was heightened by the way in which people needed that. They needed it in their life, and they needed that in the world around them. So, yeah.
You're right. You're right about that. Any upcoming events that you want to share with our listeners or myself?
The Kansas City Art Institute End of Semester Exhibition, both in person and virtually. And then there's a couple of really cool exhibitions with previous guests that I've brought in with you that I will let you know about. And they're going to be coming up in May.
Terrific. I hope you can come back.
Oh, I would love to.
Because, I just can't get enough of Jonah Criswell. And Curtis. We love our little kitty cat,
Curtis.
Yeah,
he's our 16-year-old little man.
Still running rampant. We love that. Thank you guys so,
Thank you so much.
And, you know, I'll see you at the Art Institute.
See you then.
You bet. Thanks for showing up. And we're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio after this.
The Kansas City labor community lost Herb Johnson on October 18th. Herb's life was a nonstop fight for the rights of working people from his early days with the machinists at TWA to his last role building the Alliance for Retired Americans. In between, he held the number two post with the Missouri AFL-CIO, fighting bills in the legislature aimed at fleecing workers. On this week's Heartland Labor Forum, Herb's union friends will pay tribute with lots of good stories. Tune in Thursday at 6 p.m., rebroadcast Friday, 5 a.m.
This is federal worker Cynthia Lee of the Department of Treasury Financial Management Service, and I encourage all of my federal worker friends to support KKFI 90.1 FM during the combined federal campaign. Donating a few dollars each pay period can help keep community radio on the air in Kansas City. Designate your tax-deductible donation to KKFI, CFC Agency Code 21994. Thank you for supporting community radio.
This is Art Speak Radio, and I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Woof! We have a great lineup, didn't we? I mean, and we still have more to go. We have Catherine Bellow, who is a painter, and Philip Eyrick, one of our favorite contributors. Hello, friend.
Oh, hello, Maria. It is so good to be back. Thank you very much for having us.
I think the last time I saw you in person, before the last time I saw you in person, was we were eating nachos at a Mexican restaurant in Brookside.
Yeah, that is correct.
That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
Oy vey. You know, it's crazy. But we're happy to have you back. And we're going to talk about Cerbera Gallery, which is located at 2011 Baltimore Avenue, Kansas City, Missouri. It's part of the Crossroads. And we love that you brought with you. It brought to my attention Catherine Bellow, who is a painter, and she approaches every blank canvas with no preconceived idea. I love that. So it's that invitation to the unknown that begins the process. Welcome, Catherine.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
The work is up now through the end of January, right?
That is correct. So it has been up since last week. Everything is a little fluent right now, so we don't have an official opening reception. Some of your listeners may know that we have a very small physical gallery footprint, and that unfortunately, with the pandemic still going on, does not allow us to, you know, have a lot of folks at the gallery at the same time. But the new show is up, and we will certainly would love for everyone to, you know, come by and see the first solo exhibition by Catherine Bellow.
Yeah, and can they find some of her work on your website at the gallery?
Yes. All the works that are currently in the show, as well as works from previous series, can be found on our website and certainly on our social media channels as well.
You know, one of the things that I love about Cerbera Gallery is that it is such a personal, a beautiful gallery. Everywhere you look, you know, you're in touch with the art. And I really love that about the gallery. Most often, you know, I've talked to a number of artists there on opening nights and that sort of thing. It's just a wonderful gallery. How long have you been operating out of that?
So in March 22, it will be 6 years already.
Wow, that's crazy.
So yeah, time flies.
That's crazy.
We opened in March of 2016, and that was supposed to be just a pop-up gallery for NCECA, the National Ceramic Conference that was in town at the time. And 6 years later, we're still here.
Wow, that's terrific. Now, with Catherine's work, you know, I viewed your website, Catherine, CatherineBellow.com, and I love your idea that you approach every blank canvas with no preconceived ideas. I think that is so liberating and somewhat terrifying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's all primarily abstract. Every once in a while, I'll throw in a recognizable image. Uh-huh. But for the most part, I'm strictly an abstract painter at this point.
Is it something kind of like when you go outside and you look up into the sky and you see clouds, you begin to kind of form an image or some sort of pattern or something. Is it similar to that?
Well, I definitely am informed by landscape and outdoors. I love nature, so that is definitely a strong influence in my work.
But I mean, you know, you begin to, I see an elephant in the clouds, or I see something pulling apart that reminds me of, you know, war or something. So, I mean, I love that.
I really do start just with no preconceived ideas. I don't look at anything. Nothing is particularly on my mind when I first start painting. But as I paint, then different experiences or memories come into play, and I'll just kind of work with those, adding layers of paint and playing around with the paint and then slowly editing them out so that some sort of energy or feeling is what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm.
It kind of tells you. It kind of informs you.
Yes.
Yeah. So what is your color palette about? I mean, is it, do you have certain colors that you gravitate towards?
I love all color. There's no color. Yeah. Even the ugly colors I love. Yeah. It's really about the interplay of the colors. I love how colors interact with each other. So it's the way that they complement. So you can have a lot of technically ugly colors, mm-hmm. but when you mix them together, it just makes something that's so lush and beautiful. And I also see the world, and especially nature, through color. That is just what draws me to the canvas.
I love that. Now, have you always been a painter?
No, I have actually.
What's the backstory, Catherine?
Listening to the Kansas City Art Institute, art found me. I never ever thought of myself as an artist.
Interesting.
It found me, and I actually have a chemical engineering degree, and did that for about 10 years, and then I got an interior design degree, and I did that for a short time. But all along, I was always taking art classes, ceramic classes, drawing classes, a lot through the Kansas City Art Institute Continuing Education, and through Johnson County Community College. And probably not till my mid-40s I really got serious with it.
Well, it's interesting. I find it really interesting that the interior design I get with the connection of art, but chemical engineering, is there any sort of connectivity between that and your creating what you create?
There is.
Yeah.
I was drawn to chemistry because of the process. That process of using these materials, using these processes to create something that's new, the idea of something that's new and the possibility of that, that just has always intrigued me. And that is the same way I'm doing with my abstract art. I have these materials, they're different, they're paint, they're still chemicals. My new tools are paintbrushes and canvases.
I love that.
And I love that process of using those tools to create something that's just new and energetic, on a more energetic level, and a possibility of something new.
Now, is this large scale work that you're creating, or what are we going to see at Cerbera?
I'm getting larger. It's anywhere from the smallest are 12 by 12, mm-hmm. and I think the largest is 4 feet by 6 feet.
Yeah.
So,
nice.
The gallery, again, is smaller, mm-hmm. obviously it lends itself to small and medium-sized works. So we have two or three larger scale works, but most of the time you really cannot stand back far enough to take in very large scale pieces. That's why we mainly focus on smaller and medium sized pieces.
See, and I love that, but I also love getting so close to a work that I'm often asked to step back because I really want to see the surface of the canvas. I want to see the texture. I almost want to lick that painting, although, you know, it's just really something that I'm fascinated with. And I think about that Omaha artist that you brought in, whose name I can't remember.
Joseph Brockhammer.
Yeah, his. I just... You know, it's like, Philip's not looking, I'm going to touch. No, but I mean, because there's so many layers, and I love that, and I love that about your work.
I love layers also. Yeah. I love the little tiny bits that might poke out from several layers back. And I love the texture of paint and the luminosity you can get through glazing. That's a lot of the aspects of paint that I like as well.
And I think that is one of the advantages that our space actually offers or provides, is that, you know, in a bigger gallery space, you don't necessarily have to come close and almost inspect, artwork. But in our space, yes. In order to, for example, you know, venture into the back of the gallery, you have to, go through that middle hallway that is very narrow, and you have to come up close and take a really good look at the artwork that is hung on the walls.
And Philip, finding Catherine's work, was that through her website, or did you connect with her? What's the backstory now?
I found Catherine at Art Westport. So some of your listeners may know that I'm married to a ceramic artist.
We love her.
Who actually graduated from the Kansas City Art Institute Ceramics Department.
You can mention her name.
Melanie Sherman is her name. And she had a booth at the 2019 Art Westport.
Yes.
And Catherine happened to be right next to Melanie.
Yeah.
And because as a good husband, I've been attending sometimes my wife's booth, I came across Catherine's work, and I approached her and asked her if she would be interested in just visiting the gallery and maybe enter into a conversation, not necessarily about representation, but maybe consigning a few pieces to Cerbera. And that was the beginning, and the rest is history. I mean,
hit it off right away.
We've been a successful team, and I really have to say we've been able to place her work all over the world.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great. You know, what's not to love about this guy?
I know.
Right? We love our Philip. You know, Cerbera Gallery is located, again, at 2011 Baltimore Avenue. And the website?
Is CerberaGallery.com. So that's C-E-R-B-E-R-A Gallery, all one word, .com.
And CatherineBellow.com is Catherine's website. And, you have a sheet in front of us. Is there something that you want to add to the conversation, upcoming events?
No, that's just my cheat sheet.
Oh, your cheat sheet.
That's just my cheat sheet.
Okay. So now, Catherine's work will be up through the end of January. And then 2022, are you?
So we're finalizing the schedule for 2022, but obviously we will try to, last year and a long time this year, we were not open to the public, especially during the week, so it was only open by appointment. And that is something with hopefully, the coronavirus pandemic being, less of an issue in 2022, that we will return to our full gallery schedule, which means we are going to have a new show every 8 to 10 weeks.
Wow, that's a lot of work. I think if people have not curated work or shown their work or whatever, don't have any sort of clue about what it takes. It takes a lot. I mean, not only to get the work up and the lighting, and I mean, it's a production.
It is a production, and you also should not underestimate, especially nowadays, the marketing aspect. So in the beginning, and that was really a learning curve, because I have also a different background, not necessarily in the arts, but rather in IT. And I thought, I could come up with a new show every 4 weeks, but it just does not leave you enough time to properly market a show. That's why we said we are actually going to switch to an 8 to 10 week show schedule. It makes more sense, and it gives us a better opportunity, especially online, promote artists and an exhibition that we're currently showing.
Wow. Cerbera Gallery brings, some really great work, to the community. And Catherine, I'm just really wowed by your pieces.
Oh, thank you.
And you can find that, her work, katherinebellow.com. What is up next for you, Catherine? As a painter, do you think about other medias, computer graphic, sculpture, and that sort of thing?
Actually, during COVID, I feel my work started to shift a little bit, maybe simplify or really bring it down to essence of painting. And also, because of COVID, I was able to take some Zoom classes from some workshops around the country. And so I dabbled a little bit in collage and even some little bit of figure painting, which I actually used to do more figure painting, uh-huh. but more in an abstract way. So we'll see. We'll see what comes along.
I think it'd be interesting to see some of your collage work because, you know, it just feels like a great connection to your painting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? Yeah, collage is fascinating. It's so much fun.
But again, you don't start out with any sort of idea or
No,
or thought
I really,
about,
I have tried to do that before, but it never works. I usually will start and it's like, ugh, give up on that idea and start something new.
Do you find does it surprise you then when you go back and look at your body of work? Is it sort of a journal of where you've been in your life?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, just getting ready for the show, I was looking over my last few years and I really see an evolution of where I was in 2019 versus where I am now. And what experiences I have experienced and what the world is experiencing and just my own internal thoughts and feelings about it all.
Mm-hmm.
And an average person looking at that is obviously not going to see that, but I think and I hope that they see something in that painting that they can connect with about their experience in life.
And I like that because I was going to ask you, what do you want your viewers to see? What do you want them to gain? What do you want them to take from your work?
Well, I feel there's a universal connection between all of us. And what I put into the painting is a certain energy. And I have people that have come up and looked at my paintings and they see things that, of course, I never would have even seen.
Yeah.
But they'll start telling me stories about their life.
Interesting.
And what memories it brings back for them. And I just, that's what I love. I love when people see my work and have a feeling, a reaction to it, and it touches them emotionally without seeing an actual representative object.
Yeah, and I think it's that storytelling aspect oftentimes that really draws me to Catherine's work.
Right.
It obviously makes it a lot easier to sell work or to, promote or represent work if you actually like it yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what I always liked is that I can, read or, tell my own stories through the work that, is in front of me. And again, it's this open-endedness. It's what I see in it or what I want to see.
Right. But, it makes me think of like when you title your work, too. Do you title your work Untitled so that people have that freedom to kind of look at your work and make up their own story? Or do you give it a title so then, now we're looking at, the sunset over, Lawrence or whatever. I mean, does that ever occur to you when you...
I do title my paintings, but I don't... I try to leave them open-ended as well so that they have a personal connection with me, but I try not to let that affect the actual physical painting.
I mean, there are a few figurative paintings or with figurative elements that... have a title that is related to what is depicted in the image, but oftentimes again it's very open ended and abstract.
Yeah, or I'll play with the words a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and for me, my experience of looking at art, I will look at the art and then I will look at all the information that's provided with that because I want to have that connection with that work. At that time, without any sort of influence, I don't know.
Yeah.
But then again, you can't you can't title everything untitled.
Oh, yes, you can.
No, I disagree. I disagree. Well, get out of here. No, it's true. It's true.
Yeah, you have a few, and that makes it actually really interesting when you create online listings because they all have the same name. So you have to come up with workarounds. But there are a few artists who specifically say, no, there are definitely no titles. So all the works that they create are untitled.
Yeah, I love that. And do you have any other information that you want to share with us before we kind of sign off for the afternoon? Any other upcoming events or?
I just wanted to plug it. I just wanted to do a little plug for the Kansas City artist community. I'm just starting to get involved with some things, but starting a little bit later in life and not knowing much about all the opportunities and events that are available here, I'm just really impressed with Philip. And the Kansas City Artist Coalition.
Well, thank you. Mentioning the Artist Coalition, absolutely. That was a wonderful hint. So I also serve on the board. I'm the current board president at the Artist Coalition. And yes, this is an absolute wonderful organization that, you know, provides essential services to pretty much all artists here in Kansas City of all maturity levels. So we're talking about students, emerging artists, but also mid-career and very well-established artists.
You know, we've got to have them back because it's been a while since I think Marissa was on.
Marissa was here for Coalesce. That was our fashion event. And I'm quite sure that we'll be back for leading up to our auction, which is our biggest fundraiser. And that will be coming up in February. And I think, hopefully I'm not mistaken, it's the last Saturday in February, and I think it's the 27th.
I'll leave some dates open for you all to come back, but I do also want to mention that the Kansas City Artist Coalition, they've been around for a number of years. I mean, what, 40?
47 years. Yeah, we're the oldest artist-centered nonprofit here in the city and one of the oldest in the country.
Is that right? Yeah, wow, that's a great claim to fame. I love that. I love that. Well, thank you so much, Philip, for joining us today. And Catherine, it was great to meet you.
Thank you. Nice
thank
to meet
you. Thank you so much. And we'll be at the Cerber Gallery, 2011 Baltimore Avenue. Your work is up to the end of January. So thank you so much for sharing your time with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You bet. Also, I want to say thank you to Jonah Criswell, Sophie Francoeur, Jim Wilson, and Jim Grant. Thanks so much for joining us today. Also, up next week, December 8th, is Sean Stewart, and we have folks from Wise Blood Booksellers, and I want to invite you to stay tuned next for Jeff Harshberger. Yes, I love my Jeff. He's the best in town. Jazz Afternoon, 1 to 3, 3 to 6, Old G's Hangout, and 6 to 7, Ebony's Bones. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And honey, I'm going to say I'm coming home.